Now we turn to our own Jamie Terabay in Baghdad. I asked her when she started to notice that the troop increase was having an effect.
The calmness came over the city in the last couple of months. I think the surge sort of kicked in around June, July, and then August, September, things started to ease. And we began to see less and less of the big car bombings and the things that would deter people from going outside and from going to markets and shopping and working and even just staying out late. So it was very, you know, tentative in the beginning. People would maybe go out of their own neighborhoods, and now they're actually starting to travel outside into different districts. But people aren't ready to declare, I guess, that it's fantastic. And there are still a lot of issues going on, but the issues now, not so much just security, but they want essential services. They want to keep moving forward.
And I guess even the fact that people might be focusing now on essential services rather than a huge fear of daily death and destruction, that says something on its own.
It really does. And, just talking to American commanders on the ground, they're happy almost to have people complain about electricity because at least they're not complaining that they're under attack and they can't leave their houses for fear of death anymore.
We've been hearing about it, and you've been doing some reporting on refugees who are returning, who have gone, say, to Syria, and now are coming back because things are a bit calmer. What does that say to you, and how sustainable is that, do you think?
Well, a lot of the people who we've been speaking to are coming back. Some of them say that they're coming back because it's better. They've heard that it's better. They've heard the situation has changed, so they can start looking at returning to their houses. A lot of them come back because they simply have no choice. But really, I think that that's going to be one of the big flashpoints of possible tension if it's not addressed in the way that it should be. What we've been reporting lately is that the Iraqi government has no plan really to deal with all of these thousands of families it claims have been returning to their original homes. There are so many problems endemic in just how do these people come home? How do you venture back into a place that you left? You don't know if your house is still there. You don't know if there's a family living in there. I just heard from one of our staff, his brother went back to take a look at his old house, and the militia that was there said, don't come back. You're not allowed to come back, and warned him.
Jamie, you have been in Iraq reporting from there since right after the U.S. invasion in 2003, and you're coming to your own turning point. You're about to leave. You're in the last days of your final tour there, and it must be a time where you're taking stock of everything that you've seen in that time and what's changed.
It is a big difference to what it was like in 2003, and you want to have a sense of hope for the future. You want to be able to feel like, okay, maybe the people here aren't so different and the divisions aren't so deep that they can reconcile, they can move forward. But I'm not entirely convinced that the rifts have healed. There's so much emotion, there's so much PTSD, there's so much anxiety of the future that it's going to really take a long time for this country to get better and for the people to heal. So I'm not really not very optimistic about the future.
You're not.
Unfortunately. No, not for the next, 12 to 24 months. I think this fight is going to get nastier, especially as American troops begin to draw down and you are seeing the arming of local groups, which are majority Sunni, and you see a Shia-dominated government that doesn't want this to happen. And their greatest fear is not al-Qaeda in Iraq. Their greatest fear is the Sunnis coming back into power again. These people aren't ready to move forward. And until they are, this is going to continue to be a place where danger is just lurking around the corner. I can't see things improving, especially if things don't improve politically within the next 6 to 12 months.
Jamie, when you think about the 4.5 years that you've been in Baghdad, do you see a curve, a pattern of what's happened in that time?
Well, it was, I guess we could say that the curve started pretty high up. I mean, really, the most positive time was probably right after the war, when American troops were welcome, when they were standing in line at Pizza Huts and buying soda. And I remember being in Humvees that didn't have any doors on them. We never wore body armor. I'd be with troops in Mosul, And we would just walk into a restaurant, 10 of us, and sit down and eat lunch with Iraqis around us. You know, people didn't have to give way for an American Humvee convoy. Now everybody just gets to the side and stands clear. You can even just measure the relationship between American troops and the Iraqi people. They've become more and more distant as they travel through, but also more intimate with the surge and the fact that there are a lot of troops living inside a lot of these neighborhoods in Baghdad, at least.
Can you think of something you've seen or heard that especially prompts you to feel as pessimistic as you do?
I think it's just a collective experience. You know, I've been going to Diyala over this year. I started going in March, and every time I've gone back, I've actually become more disheartened and more discouraged by what I've seen than feeling like things could actually improve because of all the sectarian tensions that are there.
Mm. On the flip side of that pessimism that you were talking about, I mean, is there something you have seen, someone you've met that has made you think, you know, maybe there is a chance that this country will pull itself together and has a future?
I spent the weekend in Dora, which is in the south of Baghdad, watching the Christians have the service for the first Sunday of Advent. And there were only about 20-odd people in the church. But what really struck me was a Muslim woman came into the church with her Christian female friend, and she sat through the entire service. And at the end of it, people were giving out sweets, and she gave out chocolates as well. And she was saying, you know, we are all the same. You know, all the religions are the same under heaven. And everybody in that courtyard was saying, we were never divided before, and we've all lived together since we were very young. And, you know, we'll get through this. We've been here for a really long time, and we'll just keep going. There isn't anything that's going to prevent us from continuing to live together. So there are pockets of hope. I mean, it's not like it's completely hopeless, but every now and then you see reminders of the humanity that people have, and that does provide a bit of hope for the future.
That must have been a remarkable thing for you to witness there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've seen a lot of different people interacting with each other. You know, another situation was a Shiite boy, 21 years old, had to leave for Syria because his family was threatened. And his next-door neighbor is a Sunni. And literally, the two were in touch the entire 2 years that the Shia boy was gone. And as soon as the situation in their neighborhood calmed down, he rang him and said, come back, it's better now. And I was standing there talking to them in the courtyard of the Shiite boy's house, and his friend was saying, I was so happy when he came in. I just kissed him in the middle of the street, and we're so happy to see each other. We're like brothers. We're more than brothers. They kept on talking over each other and finishing each other's sentences. It was just really endearing to see that they managed to maintain this bond, even though they were driven apart and their own neighborhood was just rife with sectarian attacks and threats. It was really good to see something like that. And the more that happens, the more this country has a chance.
We've been talking with NPR's Jamie Terabay, who is wrapping up the final days of her assignment as Baghdad Bureau Chief for NPR. Jamie, thanks so much.
You're welcome.